Suppressing truth is something that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1 when he says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. And the concept of suppressing the truth is basically it has to be a decision made by those who know. You can't suppress truth unless you know it's truth and you want to suppress it. They don't want to remember it, they don't want to know, and they don't want other people to be able to judge or to condemn them for that activity. And we're seeing a lot of truth suppression in the world today. So much so that it breaks your heart. You know, abortion was a terrible decision back in 1973. But after 50 years, when the Supreme Court finally got back to it and recognized and admitted that it was not a good decision, suddenly the nation erupted in anger and bitterness and a desire to destroy anyone who would condemn abortion in any way at all. So much so, you probably read this article, I could not believe it, but it turns out it's true. There was a thing to be voted on in Montana of all places. Should a doctor take care or help a baby that is still alive after an abortion? It failed to pass. The people in Montana said, we think the doctor should let that baby die. And I thought to myself, how in the world could that happen? Well, it happened because people suppressed the truth. Abortion is the termination of the life of a child. It doesn't matter how you couch it, it doesn't matter how you say it, that's the truth. If we leave that child in the womb, it will be born a human being. But there was a decision to suppress that truth. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the wrath of God is revealed against that, against all ungodliness, all those things that are standing opposed to God, or unrighteousness, which means all those things that stand opposed to what is fair, to what is just, to what is honorable. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Cain did that. When Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, he had to suppress the truth. He knew there was a God. He knew that God was the creator of the heavens and the earth. It was too close. Adam and Eve, his mother and father, were there and spoke with God. And now he decides, I will not serve God. I will not accept him. I will not even have him in our minds. Well, you can't do that. You can't live out of the presence of the Lord. He's not far from each one of us. In him we live and move and have our being. We know that. We know that the material creation declares the glory of God. We know that the Bible is very clear and the physical creation verifies that truth. Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. But I want you to think about this. If I don't believe something and you tell me I don't agree with you, I just say, well, that's fine. But the people today, they know that their position is tenuous, that their position can't really be defended, and so any time someone opposes that, they immediately want that person canceled. They want it shut down. Why? Because they know that they don't have the ability to defend what they're proclaiming. They're suppressing the truth. They know the truth. And when someone proclaims that truth, instead of simply saying, well, I don't really agree with that, they want it crushed. And of course, that's where persecution will ultimately come from. I think that the political problems we're seeing with abortion, with homosexuality, with capital punishment, with many of the things, the scriptures are very clear and the truth is very clear. And at some point, it's not going to be a political issue anymore. It's going to become a religious issue. And at that point, we are going to have to decide whether we're going to take a stand or not. Now, God didn't reveal what Cain did. But from Cain until the intermarriage of the sons of God, which would have been Seth's offspring, and the daughters of man, which would have been Cain's offspring, we see no indication whatsoever that these people ever even thought about returning. And of course, we see that throughout the history. We see that when, after the Tower of Babel, all of these nations went into idolatry. And of course, we can't see all the individuals who may or may not have come out of it, but until God called Abraham and began to work with Abraham, he had to give the rest of them up. And so you can't suppress the truth without a substitution. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's what we've been watching. Those of us who are older, now you that are in your teens or 20s or even in your early 30s, you probably haven't seen as much of this as we have seen. But I grew up in a school where people talked about God, they taught about God, where in our assemblies we would hear religious songs when the idea of God was not something that was something that was so opposed. Well, what changed? Well, they knew God, but they didn't honor him. They weren't thankful to him. Became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now, that's not going to become evident until we stand before God on the final day, and then all of these people are going to find out that their choices have consequences. Consequences that they didn't want to deal with. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Now, God is simply giving us a global understanding of what happened. What happened to Cain? He left the presence of the Lord. Here's how it happened. He knew God. He didn't glorify him as God. We see that in the sacrifice that he gave. He wasn't thankful. He didn't really thank God. He became futile in his thoughts. He went out from the presence of the Lord. And of course, from that point onward, what do we see? We see the gradual descent of the human race from the glory that God had given them when he created them in his image and likeness to every imagination, the thoughts of men's hearts were only evil continually. Now, we're not there yet. But we're seeing the shift. And I want us to appreciate this because we have to protect ourselves. These are the evil companions we're dealing with now. It's not just an adulterer. It's not just pornography. It's not just alcohol or liars and cheaters or greedy people. We are now hitting at the very core of whether there's a God and whether we need to serve God at all. So, those in the forefront, they go through this process. They want to suppress the truth. And so they start looking. What can we do to get God out of the culture? As long as God is here. Now, that's why we're seeing a concerted effort right now, to destroy Christmas, to destroy Thanksgiving, to destroy the basic holidays and thoughts that people have regarding God. And I think over the next few years, we'll see a stronger and stronger effort. Because until those are gone, their way is impeded. They can't move the country to where they want it to go. They want the country to be where people are not thinking about God, and the things God condemns, no one's bringing up. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Now, why does God say all that? I mean, it's obvious, but why does he say that? He's trying to help us understand something. These substitutions that people have developed, they can't do anything. Why would you change serving God, whose power and majesty are seen all around us, to bow down to a statue of silver and gold? And the answer is verse 18. Those who make them are like them. They too have mouths and eyes and ears, but they're not using them. So is everyone who trusts in them. You can't suppress the truth without a lie. You have to come up with a lie. So we're not killing babies, we're killing fetuses. And fetuses are not human, and they don't become human until after they are born. And of course, even that's shifting now, because now, as the people in Montana have spoken, even if that child is alive outside of the womb, let it die. Now, that shift didn't come overnight, but that's where, and I don't consider Montana to be California. I don't consider Montana to be New York. This is the heartland. These people, by and large, are conservative. But what happened? Well, the truth was suppressed. And now, in a clear conscience, they can say, if the baby could live, if the doctor would help, the doctor shouldn't help. Now, I bring that up only because it's such a powerful example of what's happening in our culture. And it isn't just there. It's in our attitude toward marriage, and I don't mean our, the people who are Christians who still believe in the truth, but I'm talking about those people. They see fornication as a recreational activity. But when you condemn it, they become very angry because they know in their heart that there's more to it than that. The wicked, in his proud countenance, does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Now notice it doesn't say he knows there's no God. It says the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. Now all the persecution you see in the first century, they persecuted Paul. As I said a moment ago, if you know you have the truth and somebody argues with you, you just feel sorry for them. You don't want to kill them. You don't want to yell at them. They don't make you angry. But if you don't have the truth, and their words get under your skin, and you can see, wait a minute, my dearly held convictions are not built on a solid foundation, then you get mad. And so Christians really don't get angry with people who disagree with them. They feel sorry for them. But it doesn't work the other way. Instead of the people who are so enlightened, they don't feel sorry for us. They want us to shut up. They want us to go away. And there's a reason for that. And that reason is very important for us to realize. Now, let me just throw this up so you can think about it, because it's obvious. An idol is a perfect blank page. You can make your idol out of anything you want, representing anything you want, and being served by anything you want. So you create the idol you want, and you serve it with the things you want to do. And every idol represented the desires of that nation. Now you go back and you look at Moloch, or you look at Baal, or you look at the Asherim, or you look at Chemosh, and you see that some are gods of violence. It's a violent culture. It's a culture of war. And their god is a god of war. And the people who serve their god go to war and die for their god. And the people who are suppressing the truth, that was their intent. Same thing with gods of greed. Same thing, Baal and Ashtoreth were gods of sexual activity. People who wanted to have free reign of their sexual desires with anyone they want, under any circumstances, create a god, and that's how you serve that god. And so great is Diana of the Ephesians. If you've ever seen Diana, she is an image of a woman with, I don't know how many breasts, but there's 25, 30. Why'd they put all those breasts on that woman? Because they wanted a god that would allow them to do what they want to do. Infant sacrifice, the same thing. When you have a god of sex, and you have children that you don't want, you have to have a god that accepts those children as a sacrifice. And on it goes. And as you look at different cultures and different things, you start to understand that people who suppress the truth, the reason they suppress the truth is because there's something they want to do without guilt, without fear, without consequences. And so they create a God. Now, as God said, they're suppressing the truth. And in their heart of hearts, in weak moments of weakness or moments where somebody is opposing them, the truth begins to dawn upon them and they simply lose control. And they want that put to death. They want it stopped. They want it canceled. There was an assembly this week. They just wanted to celebrate America as a wonderful place, a good place. And they had to call the riot police in. This was in New Mexico. It was in one of the colleges on New Mexico. They had to call in the riot police because the students were so angry that somebody could have a voluntary assembly and say America is a good place. Now, why? Why are they so uncomfortable that America could be a good place? Why does that threaten them? Why do they have to shut everyone up? Why do they have to call in the riot police? Because they become so angry that America could be a good place. Now, is America a perfect place? No. Is everything in American history good? Absolutely not. But if you look at all the nations of the world and you compare them to America, there's a lot of good here. A lot of good things that we're doing here. Why can't we celebrate that? Well, once again, we don't want a God like that. We don't want a people like that. It's a frightening time, brethren. Things are shifting so quickly. I could not even have imagined, I'm sure many of you could not have as well, that we could have gotten here so quickly. But that which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done. And God has seen this over and over again. This is the precursor to every imagination of the thoughts of men's hearts are only evil continually, and violence fills the earth. And that's where we are right now. And we're seeing things that people are wanting to suppress the truth. So they knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God. That's step number one. Now, these people are far beyond that, but we're seeing brethren, we're seeing children, we're seeing grandchildren, and this is what we need to watch for, because this is the first step. If we have someone who's a member of the Lord's church, we have someone who loves God, who knows God, who understands God, the process by which they turn from that to voting that doctors shouldn't help their children or rioting over the fact that America might be a good nation, they knew God. But they didn't glorify him as God. And they weren't thankful. Now, I used this slide a couple of weeks ago in a difference, but I wanted to bring it up again. This is twilight. The place where we can move back into the light or go further into the darkness. Many of us have been here. There have been times in our lives where worship seemed a little stale. Or where giving God thanks, we just got so preoccupied, so busy enjoying things that we forgot to give God the thanks. We didn't realize at the time how dangerous that is. Because if you know God and your worship starts becoming stale and your thanks to God are just words, they're no longer coming from a heart overflowing with appreciation and gratitude for what we have. We can come back. If we don't, we're going to become futile in our thoughts, and our foolish hearts are going to become darkened. Over the last year, children in schools are being told, you don't know if you're a boy or girl just because of your body. You know you're a boy or girl by how you feel. And if you feel like a girl in a boy's body, we stand ready to give you the drugs and the surgical procedures to give you what you want. Now, that sounds like the Twilight Zone, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds, where in the world, what nation would allow that? And yet, here we are. And some of the states in our nation right now are saying you can't tell, you don't even have to tell the parents. Don't tell the parents that you're giving their child drugs and that you're offering their child surgical procedures or that you want their child to have an abortion. You don't have to tell their parents. Where did we get here? And this is just the beginning. As I say, this either we're going to come back, which I'm beginning to lose hope because God has sent. You remember him telling the people in the book of Hosea, or maybe it was Amos, I sent drought, I sent famine, I sent pestilence. You have not returned to me. I have done everything I know to do, and you have not returned to me. So God has sent 9/11. He sent COVID. We hoped, but the hope was in vain. It didn't change anything. As a matter of fact, we're worse now than we were before those things. What else can God do? Gratitude is fading. God's glory is diminished. It's getting harder and harder to see him and hear him. Unless we're listening to the material creation. So, number one, they knew God. But brother, we all have friends, family, people we know that aren't Christians anymore. But we know they were. They knew God. What happened? Unbeknownst to us, they didn't glorify him as God. We can't see that. I can say a prayer, and you can all say, wow, Alan, that was a wonderful prayer, and not mean a word of it. Just know what to say. Not glorifying God. Not being thankful. Mouthing words with nothing in the heart. Doesn't happen overnight. But if we're watching our own selves, we can see the beginnings of it. You can tell right away. And brethren, this is the whole purpose for this lesson is this point right here. The whole world is getting dark. Fewer and fewer people believe in God and are willing to stand and say they believe in God, regardless of the cost. And they know we're here. And Hollywood is working overtime right now to change the way we see homosexuality. I don't know, you're probably aware of the fact that you can turn on Hallmark right now and watch two guys kissing, or watch two girls kissing. You can see a show where the whole show is about a girl loving a girl and finally getting the girl at the end. That's what's going on there. How do we get here? Hollywood is trying to redirect our views of right and wrong. Verse 4, or number 4 there at the bottom, became futile in their thoughts. If this doesn't vex you like Lot, be afraid. Something's happening in your heart. It's already in the world. We just don't want it to get in here. Lot vexed his soul from day to day, his righteous soul from day to day, by the ungodly conduct of wicked things he was seeing and hearing. Are we still there? Or can we watch one of those shows now and say in our own hearts, well, this doesn't really seem so bad. You know, the preacher's been preaching against this, but watching this person in love with this person, and it doesn't seem so bad. Futile in their thoughts. You know the big problem? People don't want to submit to God's will. God made me a boy or a girl based on the body he gave me. I can't turn around and say, I'm not that. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, God said, don't wear. Men don't wear what pertains to a woman. Woman don't wear what pertains to a man. It's an abomination. Why is it an abomination? Because God already saw Sodom and Gomorrah. And God already saw what was going on in the seven nations of Canaan. And God knew that there would be Sodomites in the land, as we continue to see throughout the wicked phases that Israel went through. Became futile in their thoughts. And their foolish heart was darkened. Gratitude, gone. God's glory and existence, maybe not forgotten, but suppressed. And the last thing they want is some Christian coming along, preaching what I'm preaching today, or reminding them of what they know, but they want to forget. It's a great peril, brethren. We need to recognize it. We need to be watching for it in the lives of our families, co-workers, friends, family, each other. We've never been here before. Now, other cultures have, but we've never been in a culture that was so opposed to the lifestyle that we consider, to the lifestyle God has decreed in the Scriptures. What about our idols? We don't have Diana of the Ephesians. We don't have Baal. We don't have Chemosh or Moloch or any of the gods we read about in the Old Testament. We have all the practices. How do we get here? Well, we're the idol. Now, bear with me. I want you to think this through with me. Back in the early part of the 1900s, evolution suppressed the truth. And the Big Bang followed, because you can't have evolution without somehow all of this coming into being. And so the Big Bang and evolution. And as I say, I heard it in the late 60s. I was in started high school in 68, graduated in 72. We had one teacher. We all laughed at him. He taught evolution. And most of the kids, we were just scoffing at it. We thought it was hilarious because we all believed in God. And we all knew that God, even though I wasn't a Christian, I knew that God had created the heavens and the earth. And I just thought it was funny. Not funny anymore. Because now, that philosophy has brought us abortion. And it's bringing us euthanasia. It won't be long before we'll be killing our older people. We've already had assisted suicide in so many places. I don't know if you saw this guy. Jeannie was telling me about him. I caught a glimpse of him. There's a club or an organization. What's the word I want? They're affirming that it would be the best thing for this world if the human race would become extinct. And so that's their main goal. This guy's out there, and that's what he's saying. And I saw yesterday some poor woman saying, "Oh, it's just so terrible that I brought a child into the world. It should never have been. I've damaged the world by bringing a child into the world." And, you know, I almost don't like even talking about these things, but I just want everybody to be aware. That's what's going on right now. It's not part of preaching the Scriptures, but it's part of applying the Scriptures. You remember the Beatles? Nothing above us, only sky, no God. We didn't suppress the truth with an idol. We suppressed the truth with a personification of natural facts. But you know, we don't worship or serve nature. We do worship and serve the Creator, or excuse me, the creature, and that's ourselves. And that's the basic definition of narcissism. There's nothing but me. Your feelings don't matter. You don't exist. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you need to die for me to be happy, then you should die. I'm the world, the universe revolves. We don't have an idol. And this has probably happened before. I don't know of any examples of it, but I'm sure there have been cultures like ours, where each individual makes his own laws and his own rules and lives his own life and won't tolerate any interference. But this is important because this is what has happened and this is where we are today. I don't blame evolution and the Big Bang anymore because that's receded. Right now, we're just in a culture where what I want, if I was born in a boy's body and I'm a girl, then I need to be given. And it doesn't matter because that's what I need. And if I've got a child who's going to hinder my lifestyle, that child needs to die. Even if I've carried the child 9 months and the baby's been born, we still have country. We have states in our nation right now who have voted. And I'm not sure. I think Colorado might be one of them. We didn't vote for it, but I'm pretty sure they passed a law. But don't quote me on it. But I'm pretty sure this is one of those places where you can have a baby full term and still get an abortion. Narcissism. Nothing but me. My needs. If you're in my way, you should die. And now we've got DAs out there who are saying these people are just victims and we need to consider their needs above the victims. I don't know if you read about it this week. California decided to let all the pedophiles out of prison to prey on our children, professing themselves to be wise. They're letting people cross the border, terrorists. And again, I need to be careful here. This is not a political sermon. It's a sermon in which I'm trying to help us all understand the grave dangers that are all around us. So if I've strayed too far into politics, please forgive me. Because it wasn't my intent. But here's the point. Evil companionship or evil company corrupts good morals, and the nature of the corruption is based on the company we keep. And all I've been trying to tell you for the last few minutes is this is the company we're keeping right now. These are the people that we work with. These are the people who are giving us the news and slanting the news to suppress the truth. We don't get to see the baby torn to pieces. We don't get to talk about, or we don't want to talk about, how an abortion, because it'd make you sick if you knew what they were doing. The corruption today from the home, the schools, the churches, the government, and Hollywood centers on authority. We're fighting this in the denomination. They're telling us that the scriptures are not absolute, that they're relative, because we get to decide which ones matter. Where'd this all come from? Well, it's all coming back from what's happened over the last 150 years. And none of that would matter, except I want all of us to get to heaven. And there's a possibility that not all of us will get to heaven because the efforts that are being put forth right now to crush this. And like I said, I don't know when it's going to happen. It might be 5 years. It might be 10 years. Maybe never. But what are you going to do when they start saying members of the Church of Christ are a threat to our government and our culture and they need to be canceled? They need to be crushed. They need to be put into prison. They need to be put to death. Do we have the convictions to die for our God, for our convictions? And it goes back to what I said earlier. If we're not still giving God thanks, and we're not still glorifying Him as God, when things get that bad, if they do, what are we going to do? Paul said, my heart is fixed. No, David said, my heart is fixed. Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. And no matter what they do to me, I will not change. Because I know it's the truth. I'm not going to allow people to suppress the truth and unrighteousness, either through persecution or through sophistry or through evil companionship or through Hollywood. We're going to see through all of that and we're going to hold to the truth. But just watch, just look around right now. There's no authority in the schools. There's no authority in civil government. Civil government is essentially saying, do whatever you want to do. We're not going to do anything. They're putting in district attorneys who just let people go. You can shoot a cop, no bail. You'll be out on the streets to shoot another one by the end of the day, and they do. I mean, this is what's going on right now. Because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So this is a sermon. I never preach sermons like this. I probably won't preach one again. But I just wanted to lay this all out because I've been seeing things and my heart is vexed right now. You might be able to see that. I'm very unhappy for my grandchildren, for my children, for my brethren. And a sermon like this needs to be heard so we can all be this unhappy and so that we can all start recognizing the great danger that we're in and we can start taking steps to make sure that those we love, those we know, those that we work with are not going to be swallowed up in this. But it's going to be a tough battle because it's gone very quickly. It's terrifying to see how quickly things are moving right now. And the bitter anger that those people feel if you say, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with what you're doing. We don't have freedom of speech in a lot of places anymore. Unless you freely speak what they want to hear. So we need to protect ourselves. The heavens declare the glory of God. He speaks to me everywhere. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. God is God. The heavens declare his glory. Big Bang, evolution cannot begin to explain what we have here. The DNA of one cell would take a book that thick. You tell me that happened because of an explosion? No matter how much time, it's too complex. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth. And their words to the end of the world. I don't see nature. I see God. You don't see nature. You see God. God did all of this. And one day we will stand before God. And like authority or not, and like truth or not, these books are going to be opened. And we're going to be judged. As Jesus said, the words I have spoken, not just his words, but the words he has given to the apostles and the prophets, those words are going to judge us in the last day. So bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives your iniquities? Who heals your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things? Can't forget this. Everything flows from this. And all the problems, all the sewer that we're seeing in the world today has come because so many people have forgotten that God did all of this. And so we need to give thanks. Don't underestimate the power of sincere worship and gratitude. When you were singing those songs today, did you mean it? When those prayers were being offered, did you feel them? Did you say amen, a hearty amen? I agree. During this lesson, are you focused? When we give and take the Lord's Supper, are we grateful? Are we remembering? Sincere worship and gratitude, when they begin to fade, we're in grave danger. And so as we conclude our lesson, again, let me apologize for so much coming out of the world today. It just felt like some of those illustrations needed to be spoken. But let's just focus on the scriptures. Are you grateful to God? Do you thank him? You glorify him as God? Are we vexed at the wicked conduct? Are we ready to stand up and say that's not right? These are critical indicators of the soundness and health of our faith. And so as we stand and sing the song of the invitation this morning, I give everyone the opportunity to look inside of their hearts and say and decide whether this sermon has anything that applies to me and whether I need to do anything about it. And if there's anyone in the audience who needs to do anything, who would like to come forward confessing sin, confessing weakness, asking for prayers, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.